Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And with God's help, we'll throw a little bit more light on those two verses as the meeting progresses. But as I said, we're all born in the north, but obviously we went to school in Dublin, and at a very early age, when I was about 7 years of age, I remember it like it was only yesterday, there were very few evangelical churches of any denomination in Dublin in the early 60s. You'd have to travel many, many miles to find any type of an evangelical church, and the closest church to us was a little gospel hall run by the Brethren, and we started attending there when I was about 7 years of age. And I can remember when I was about 8 or 9, there was a male voice choir came down from Ulster, and they were travelling around the Irish Republic. They were singing in different venues, and even though my parents had told me the way of salvation and that I needed to be saved, that I needed to make to get myself right with God, even though I was young, and to confess my sins, etc., etc., I'd never actually taken that step. But that was all to change the day that this male voice choir came down from Ulster. And I can remember the Lord really spoke to me in this evening service, and I was really, you know, convicted of my sins, such as they were, such are the sins of a 9-year-old. And I remember being very troubled. And we came home after the meeting, and I said to my dad, I said, Dad, you know, I really want to get saved. I need to get saved. And I can remember my mother taking one or two of my sisters, my four younger sisters, out of our front sitting room. And there is a young lad, I remember kneeling down and asking the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And I can remember that extremely clear, and it was very distinct. And I can honestly say and put my hand on my heart and say that for many, many years, I loved the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember reading my Bible. My parents would often still talk about it today, and they said they never remembered such an avid reader of Scripture. I loved reading my Bible. I loved praying. I loved witnessing to my friends in school about Jesus. In fact, the principal sent home a little note to my parents when I was about 9, asking them, would they talk to me? Would I please water it down? I had many of the children in fear of fire and brimstone. I was that zealous, and I was telling them that, of course, and maybe I should have stressed more of the grace of God, perhaps, as opposed to the wrath of God, but I was stressing if they didn't get saved, if they didn't get born again, they would most certainly go to hell if they didn't know Jesus personally. And of course, it was true, but I was troubling some of the other children, and they sent a note home, could you please ask Stephen just to perhaps pull back a bit? But such was my love and my zeal for the Lord. But sadly, that was all to change. When I started attending secondary school down in Dublin, I attended a Methodist school, Wesley College, the equivalent here, of course, in Belfast, I'm told, is Methody. And when I was around 12 or 13 years of age, I started to play a lot of rugby. And I'm now 6'3", but I was this height when I was 14. I stopped growing at 14, and I thank the Lord for that. You know, I often wonder what would have happened if I kept going. Some lads were still growing till they were 18 or they were 21. But I stopped growing when I was 14. And a lot of the lads, we looked much older than we actually were. And many of the lads after, you know, a rugby game or a training session would disappear into the public houses, and they would do whatever they were doing. And they knew that I was a Christian. They knew that I didn't drink. They knew that I didn't smoke or swear or any of the usual things. And they used to say to me something like this, you know, Stephen, listen, we really like you. We appreciate you. You're our friend. You're on the team. You're a good player. We know you're a Christian, but surely you could just come into the pub and just have a glass of Coke or a glass of 7-Up or a glass of milk, whatever. You don't have to drink. Just come in with us. Join us. And, you know, I knew deep down in my heart I was troubled, and I know it was the Holy Spirit convicting me, and I knew deep down in my heart that it was no place for a young person to be found. I knew that in my heart and soul. I knew I had no business, you know, going into public houses, and I refused to go for, you know, a number of months. But I can remember the first time I ever entered a public house. I was around 14 years of age, and I went in, and I had my glass of Coke or whatever it was, and I remember being very, very troubled. I felt extremely uncomfortable. I didn't feel at home there. I didn't like the atmosphere. I didn't like the language. I just didn't like anything about it, but I stayed. Now, you can call that peer pressure, lack of backbone, whatever. Perhaps it was a combination of many different things. But my backsliding didn't just happen overnight. It wasn't as if one day I was just in church singing the hymns, praying, and the next day backslidden. It started to happen. It was a gradual progress. You know, the old Satan, the old enemy is very, very clever. He's very, very subtle, and he drags you in slowly. And I started frequenting these pubs more, and it wasn't long before I decided that maybe just a glass of shandy. Perhaps if I just have 3/4 lemonade and maybe just a little drop of beer in it, that won't do any harm. And I can remember the first drink that I took. And from there down, like the story of Jonah, it was all downhill. I started to lose more and more interest in spiritual matters. I was running with the hare, I was chasing with the hound. And by the time I was 16, looking back now, I was completely backslidden. I knew my scriptures well. I'd been well grounded in the word as a young lad, but it was all in theory. It was all head knowledge. My heart had grown cold towards the things of God. And then, of course, I thought that my parents were very unreasonable. I realize, of course, now that they weren't unreasonable, but I thought they were very unreasonable. They wouldn't allow me, entertain, some of my friends in the house. They wouldn't, allow me. I developed a smoking habit at this stage. I was smoking about 20 to 30 cigarettes a day. And of course, I never smoked in the house. My parents, I had enough respect that they never actually saw me ever smoke or drink. But it was just a disaster. And I had to be in by certain times, and they wouldn't allow me go to this place. They wouldn't allow me go to discos. They wouldn't permit me to go to dances. And again, rightly so, but I, at this stage, was a very rebellious young teenager. So I couldn't wait till I was 18 years of age so that I could leave home. So I left home at 18, and I won't have time to go into it, all of it, because I want to share a little bit as to the work that the Lord has brought us into there in Dublin. But at 18, my life just went from bad to worse. And I went to the UK, and I worked in the UK for a year or two. I came back. And then as a young man, when I was 21 years of age, I wasn't living at home anymore. I left home when I was just before my 18th birthday. And I decided that I was going to join the prison service. I was originally going to go for the police, the Gardaí Síochán, as they're called in Dublin, but they had a much stricter and a much tougher examination, and you had to be fluent in Irish or Gaelic, as we call it down south, and my Irish wasn't very good, so I decided to join the prison service. And I joined the prison service in 1980, and I was assigned Mountjoy Prison, which is the largest prison in the Irish Republic. And from there, my life just went from bad to worse. And I don't plan going into everything that I did when I was a backslider. There's many things that I am thoroughly ashamed of, but I know one thing, that the Lord has cleansed me with his precious blood. He has wiped the slate clean, and I don't intend to glorify the enemy, the evil one, by going into great detail as to what I did when I was a backslider. Suffice to say, I lived an extremely sinful lifestyle. I didn't attend a church. I hadn't darkened a church doorway in nearly 20 years. The only times I went to church was when my sisters, I had four sisters, and they all got married to four fine, godly Christian men. I hated those weddings because I couldn't drink, I couldn't smoke. I had to sneak out and hide behind bushes and have a quick pull on the old cigarette. And, my mother would be looking and given out to me when I came back, and all the rest of it. And of course, I attended my grandparents, both of their funerals, as a backslider. But except for weddings and funerals, I didn't darken a church doorway, and I avoided Christians like the plague. And I remained in the prison service for 10 years, living an extremely sinful and immoral lifestyle. And then, going back to approximately 1985, I decided to rent out my house. I was a single guy. I had bought a house with a mortgage there in Dublin, and I was working such long hours that my house had been burgled on a number of occasions, so I decided that I would rent it out. And the last people I wanted in my house were born again Christians. But I couldn't get anyone to rent this property. And to long story short, I got a phone call from a brother-in-law of mine who works in a Christian bookshop. He's married to one of my sisters there in Dublin. He's a pastor of a church in Dublin. And he said to me, "Stephen, there's four Christian men have come into the shop and they're looking to rent a house in the very area where your house is. Are you interested in renting it to them?" And I said, "No, Billy, I'm not. I don't want Christians renting my house." But what I'd forgot to mention to you is you can just appreciate just the heartache that my parents were experiencing when I was around 16 years of age. You can try to imagine. My father was pastoring a church at that time in Dublin. It was an extremely large church. The Lord was moving in a tremendous way. The church was full. And whilst all of this was going on, the pastor's son, the pastor's only son, was chronically backslidden.